Hold on to his heads. Hold on to their heads. There you go. All right, ready, jump. Ready, one, two, three, go. Hey, all right, give Sam a big hand. All right. Yay, Sam, good job. He's not chicken. All right, tonight I want us to look at, thank you, Meg, but I can't believe you sat down. You were supposed to just jump. And did you know how high it was? You just knew. You knew me, huh? Okay. So high. There you go. Good. Tonight, guys, I want to talk to you on the subject of gnats, heads, and baby elephant chains. Everybody say gnats, heads.
It's gnat brains.
Gnat brains. Did I say heads? Gnat brains. Everybody say gnat brains.
Gnat brains.
And baby elephant chains. And you're saying, well, what is that? What is that about? Okay, yeah, thank you. And we have... We got man, good graphics. You know, what's interesting to me, I've been doing this now as a student minister, as either a youth pastor or evangelist or conferences where I traveled all over the country doing different conferences and stuff. I've watched, in fact, it's interesting, I got an email from a girl that was in my youth group. Sam. Yeah, that's why. Sam. Mm. Okay. just you know what? Yeah, just unhook him and leave him down on the ground. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, Sam. What we're gonna need you to do is either sit down. Okay, sit down so you can pay attention. All right. Thank you. All right, hurry. So here's the deal. I've watched this. I got an email the other day from a girl. I say girl. Now she's a 40-year-old woman, okay? And she was in my youth group, the first original youth group that I was a youth pastor at. And she was in my senior high class and group. And so she... tracked me down, I guess, through Facebook or whatever, and emailed me, and then we ended up talking, and we just kind of shared old times and stuff. And she was years ago, and she says, you remember when you did that one sermon about the elephants and stuff? And I went, yeah. And she goes, that impacted me because, she goes, I was going through a stage in my life where I was learning a lot from the world. Everyone say, from the world. And she says, that changed me. That changed me. That message changed me. So this is not the exact same message, but it got me thinking. Every generation has to decide, it seems like, has to decide how they want to go as a generation. How they want to go as a generation. The Bible says there's a way in which we're to live, a way in which we're to go, but the end thereof, do we have that? Go to that slide there. Here we go. No, not that one. Hold, not yet. Go back. Yes, one more. I'm kind of doing it out of order here a little bit. There we go. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its ends the way of death. Everybody say, there's a way that seems right, but the end is the way of death, okay? Now, let's go back to the first thing where you fill in the blank here, okay? It seems like students, okay, are always looking for... they want to do what is popular with their peers. They want to do the popular thing. They want to wear certain clothing. They want to, you know, talk a certain way, listen to certain stuff. And, you know, some of it is what I call amoral. Amoral, which means it's neither good nor bad, right or wrong. It just is. It's like... Is singing happy birthday, is that evil?
Yes.
It is evil. Megan. Meg's going, yes, it's evil. No. Singing happy birthday is not evil. But is it Christian? No. It's neither good nor bad. It's just all moral, okay? But there is a popular way that it seems like the world wants to go. And students, what you're wrapped up in, when you go to school, it's always about what's the popular thing that's going on. You know, what am I downloading? What songs do I have on my, you know, iTunes or my what's the other one? The other account, huh? Spotify. You know, what do I have on that? What do you have? Oh, I don't have that song. Give me that song. Let me check. Okay. Students today always seem to want to do what is popular with their peers, but God wants us to consider his ways before we make a decision whether or not to do a thing. God wants us to consider his ways before you make any decisions in life. And unfortunately, we have a lot of what I call church kids that they might go to church. Maybe some of them, their parents make them. I'm so excited because I think most of you here tonight are here because you want to be, not because your parents made you be here. And that just excites me. I was actually, today I was talking with Doug Day, the executive pastor here, and he goes, okay, you haven't had a youth group in a couple of weeks. What do you think your crowd's going to be tonight? I go, I don't know. With the snow they're saying it could be, the weather is cold, I don't know. And we're having, and I walk in, and man, there's just a ton of you guys just having fun. You're here because you want to be here. And that's an awesome thing. But you see, here's the point. There are kids that are call themselves Christians, but they aren't, I'm not going to say that they are or aren't, I'm not sure. God knows their heart. But it seems like, watch this, they don't want to consider first the ways of God before they make a decision. In other words, here's what happens to me every year at this time of year. You know, they always talk about New Year's resolutions and stuff. I get real melancholy during Christmas time and stuff. I was with my dad and my mom in a nursing home. We put my dad in a nursing home. Now the doctors are coming back and saying that he may not have even a month to live. And my dad's got a lot of health issues. He's 84 years old. And so I'm sitting there realizing, man, this was probably the last Christmas I'm going to have with my dad. And we're in this nursing home, and we call my brother up on my cell phone and put it on speakerphone, and he's talking. And you know what we're talking about? We spent about an hour. We just talked about all the Christmases that we'd had that we could remember as kids. And I get kind of melancholy during this time, and I start to go back, and I kind of reassess where I'm at with my life, and I'm trying to decide, okay, God, am I doing what you want me to do? And you know what? I didn't tell Reagan tonight what I was preaching on. I didn't tell him what songs to select tonight, but he couldn't hit more perfect songs for what the sermon's going to be on tonight. But it's that very thing of, God, I want to do what you're calling me to do. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say what you want me to say. And that's exactly what Jesus did. The Bible says, and it's in that song, in the words of that song. That's why I love that song. We ought to live by the words there. It says that of Jesus, he goes, he didn't do anything that he didn't see the Father doing. He says, I do only the things that I see the Father doing, and I say the things that I hear the Father saying. His life was so committed to doing the Father's will because he understood the relationship that he had. Everybody say relationship. Relationship. Oh, everybody look here. Say relationship. Relationship. With Father God. Now, it's not often that I piggyback on a message that I've heard some other youth pastor or youth leader say, but I'm going to piggyback a little bit on the excellent word that I heard Nancy Green share with us Sunday morning. And that's been with me for the last few days, Nancy, what you taught. And then something that Pastor had a conversation with us yesterday, the staff yesterday, the leadership team, and he said some things that that goes right with what Nancy was saying, and this is what I'm and what I've been feeling, and it comes down to evaluating, to knowing who I am in God. And students, look at me. You will find success in life. You'll find every kind of success in life if you will learn how to consider God's ways first before you make a decision on things that you're supposed to do. Girls, someday you're going to be asked out on a date. Some big guy is going to, oh, here comes. Some guy's going to call you up and, hey, have you seen the Star Wars movie? Let's go. You want to go? And you're going to have to consider whether or not this guy is the guy that you should go on a date with. And first of all, if your parents say no dating until you're 84, okay, then you need to say, okay, no dating until I'm 84 or until you die first, okay, and then I'll start dating. No, you want to honor your parents. The 84 part's not realistic, and they're not going to say that. But you know what? Parents are here to protect you. And so you need to consider God's ways first. And a lot of the ways that we determine God's ways for our life is listening to the will, whims, and wishes of our parents. Everybody say that with me. Say the will, the whims, and wishes of our parents. Come out and name yourself. All right, there we go. So here you go. All right, so look here. So students always want to do the popular thing, but God wants us to consider his ways before we make a decision whether or not to do a thing. The Bible says, and we just read it, that there's a way which seems right unto a man, but it's ways of destruction. And so we have to have a choice. We have to make a choice. Now, here's the deal. Thank you. Are you giving me this? You're giving me that. Okay, great. No, go ahead. Get it. Here's the deal. I want you to picture two roads. All right? You come and there's a fork in the road. And here's a knife in this road and a spoon in this road. No. Here, there's a fork in the road. And you go and you look, and this way here to the right is a, we'll go this way. This way to the right is this huge, huge way. Huge road. And over here is a small path. And over here, you've got all your friends at school going, come this way. This is the coolest way. Come this way. And you got over here a small, looks like a hard path. And you got maybe a few people. And they're saying, no, no, this is the way. Come this way. And the thing you look about these guys that are over here is they may not be the most popular. They may not be the prettiest or the coolest or handsomest or strongest or smartest, but watch. You look over here and you see a few people, and you know this. They know God. They know God. And you see Jesus, as Nancy described Sunday morning, Jesus with his hands wide open saying, come this way. You have an emotional decision that you have to make at that time. You say emotional? Yeah. The reason why it's emotional is because all your friends are saying go this way, and you're going to have to deny them to walk a certain way. Okay? This is where I want us to get to. Not look for the popular opinion, but look for God's way. All right. Next thing here. It says that Romans 12:2 says this. Okay? Or 22, I'm sorry, yeah. 12:2 says this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, that is, which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The big point there, and it's kind of bolded in your notes, is we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Everybody say the renewing. Everybody say strong. Say the transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because here's the deal. Watch this. Most people, they look this way. They want to go this way. A lot of Christian students go the way of the world because it seems right. There's a popular opinion that seems right, but the ways thereof are the ways of destruction. But there's a way that doesn't necessarily seem right, but it's the way to go. And what we need to do, watch this, as students, all eyes, look right here. As students, we need to change our thinking process. And we need to be transformed in how we arrive at decisions and how we arrive at what we're going to do so that we can make the correct choice, not the ways of the world, but the ways of God. And we do that. We're not to be conformed. In other words, we're not to just do the popular thing, but we're to be transformed. And let me tell you why we need to be transformed. Watch this. Now, this gets to the meat of what I want to talk to you about. The reason why we go this way is because we've been programmed. Everybody look here. You've been programmed to think the ways of the world. Everybody look here. You got to catch this. You have been programmed. You say, not me. Yes. The world in all of its YouTube videos, TV shows, movies, songs that you download, magazines that you read, even what you're seeing and listening and watching sometimes on your Facebook. There's people that are trying to get you to a mindset that says, go the way of the world. And I could go through time after time, I could hit different examples. If you pull up certain lyrics of songs, I can say, this is of the devil. This is not the way of the Lord. Maybe I'd do this in the next couple of weeks. We actually look at some popular songs that are out there and some of the lyrics that you're listening to, that you're embracing. Because you know what? It's the popular song. And you've been programmed. And it's just like this. You say, Mark, what's that got to do with gnats, brains? Well, let me tell you something about gnats. You may not know this, but if you ever see a swarm of gnats, do this. Go get a glass. Get a big old glass. One you can see through. Not like a cup. Get a big old glass. And just kind of, and have a, have with you a, something, a lid that you can put on that and kind of go through the air and scoop up as many gnats as you can into that glass and then put a lid on top of it. And then sit it on a table, preferably outside just so that you don't let gnats off in your house somehow. But you're sitting there and you watch. You let it sit there for like a day. And what you'll see is these gnats are flying all around inside this glass, and they keep coming to the top of the lid, and they'll bump their head. Their little gnat brains bump the top of this lid, thinking they can get out. They'll go to the sides, and they'll bump the sides, and thinking they can get out, and they can't. And after a day, you can take that lid off and watch them. And you know what? Those gnats will stay in the glass. They will never come out. Good question, Sam. Why won't they? Because they have hit their head on that ceiling and they have remembered, this is how high I can go before I smack my brain. Oh, I can't go any higher than that. And they are programmed in their brain to believe that they cannot get out after that. I've done that. And I've sat that out there and I've been amazed. I've watched it day after day. They don't come out. I'll go back outside and I'll look, and I'm going, those gnats are still there. I have to actually take them and fling them out into the air before they get, oh, I'm free. I didn't, what happened there? But they're programmed because they bounce on the top of that lid and they think, I can't get out, so therefore I will not try. And they develop a mentality that says, I'm trapped. I can fly all the way around in here, but I can't get out this side of the glass. I can't get on the top, so I'm just going to fly around in here. You say, what was the thing with the baby elephant? You know, I saw a circus one time, and I heard a guy tell this story, and I didn't believe him at first until I saw him at the circus. Have you ever been to the circus, and have you ever seen them bring the elephants in? And here's these big, huge pachyderms, they're called. Big, huge. These elephants could take and just absolutely obliterate this room. I actually saw some wild elephants in Africa. I was in Zimbabwe, and we went on safari, and there were these trees, huge trees, and they came up, and they just scratched against the trees, big, huge trees, and they knocked the trees over. That's how big they are, just scratching themselves. They're huge. You've seen, you were at, when you went to Africa, did you get to see? They're huge. And so, and you go to the zoo, and you can see. So they bring them in. So that here's at the fair or the circus, they're bringing them in, and they're carrying it. They've got this stake, and it's got a little chain around it, and they're coming in, and they walk over to a point, and they want that elephant to stay, and they just put that stake in the ground, just a little bit of stake in the ground, and they walk away. And that elephant will not move beyond where that stake is at. And you're thinking, here's this huge, huge animal that could so very easily just say, oh, I want to go over here and pick up, and the stake would just fall, come out, and he'd just go where he wants to. But he has been trained to stay in that stake. Where, you know how they did it? When the elephant was just a baby, just born, and just beginning to learn to walk and stuff, they would take a chain, and they would take a great big, huge stake, and they would put it in the ground, and the stake at that point was much stronger than the baby elephant. And the baby elephant would go against with the chain, and he would come to, and he'd fight, and he couldn't. He'd go this way, and he'd realize he couldn't get loose. And because elephants have such a great remembering system, they remember, and then when they stop fighting, then they realize they've trained them. They can pick them up, and they can take them wherever they want, and as long as they put the stake in the ground, even when they get bigger, they will never, ever challenge that, because watch this, they think that that's the limitations of their existence. And you say, what's that got to do with me, Mark? Look here, students. I've watched this through every generation. Generations often repeat the same mistakes that the previous generation made because that generation has to learn by their own mistakes, their own experiences, and therefore they get programmed to say, this is the way it is. You can't go any farther than this. This is the way you do life. See, there's two ways. You can write this down. There's two ways in which you can learn. And every generation learns in one of two ways. Number one, they learn by their own mistakes, their own experiences. Say it that way. They learn by their own experiences. Everybody say they learn by their own experience. You can choose in this life to learn by your own experience. If you choose to learn by your own experience, you're going to experience a lot of pain. But a wise person uses the second way of learning. We can also choose to learn by the experiences of others. Everyone say, learn by the experience of others. In other words, you know what? I remember as a kid, I was a little kid one time, and I watched this guy, and he was climbing a tree, and he would get so far, and he would go, ah, look at this. He'd take his hands. He'd look, says, look, no hands. I'm like, cool. A little higher, and he goes, look, no hands. Cool. He got up about two more feet. He goes, look, no hands. And all of a sudden, and he fell, and he broke his arm. And I thought, I'm not going to climb and say, look, no hands. Because I'm learning by the experience of others. You can learn, you can watch somebody, and they party, get drunk, drive, and die. I've had a friend that got drunk at a party, tried to drive, got in an accident, and got killed. And his girlfriend, her face, she was so, oh, he's so popular, I'll go with him. And her face went through the windshield. She survived, but she had scars in her beautiful face. Wasn't so beautiful anymore. And I'm sitting there thinking, note to self. Don't get drunk and try to drive. Month and a half or less, he'll go to be with the Lord. But you know what? He's made a decision. He's made a decision a long time ago to go full force for God. And it's the best life. It's the best life. It's the best life. But here's the point. Here, we're going to go this fast because I gotta go. I'm almost out of time. Oh, my gosh, I'm already out of time. Look here, guys. This last part. Don't be conformed to in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The process of renewing our minds begins with our understanding of who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ, and how we see ourselves in relationship with God. And here's where I want to piggyback on what Nancy said Sunday morning. You see, look here, guys. We'll read these last three. In fact, I'm just going to give you that homework to look up those last three verses because we gotta finish. But guys, look here. All eyes right here. How many knows who God is? Some would say he's the creator of the universe. The Bible also says he's a loving father. And what Reagan had us sing at the end. In fact, Reagan, would you come up? Let's just do that last song. Where we says, all we have, all we need is in our loving father. Yeah, if you want to join him, you can. Look here, guys. It comes down to our relationship with Father. Everybody say Father. Now think about this. A lot of times, and I'm going to share this, that what Pastor said yesterday to us and said to me, and I went, that is it. And I said, and I told Pastor, I said, I'm going to tell the students this because this is right where they're at. Everybody look right here. Watch this. Sometimes we understand that God is Father. All eyes, right here. You got to catch this truth. This is so powerful. We understand that God is Abba Father. He's loving God. He's loving Daddy. He's Father to us. But watch this. We don't understand that we are His sons and daughters. You know who you are? You're a son of God. You are a daughter of God. How do you relate to your dad? Well, some of us maybe don't have a loving father, and it's difficult for us to understand that. But when we have a relationship with Father, and we go, you know what? Because you're Father, I'm son. There's some things I get to do because I'm son. All eyes, look here. there's some things that I get. Guess what I get to do? I get to hang out in Daddy's house. You know, you come in and you say, oh, it's my house, right? How many of you guys say, come over to my house? You know what? Technically, it's not your house. You don't own that house. Your daddy who wrote on the mortgage, he owns that house. He's letting you stay in that house. But you know what? You say it correctly. This is my house, because you understand the relationship between you and Father. Some of you guys, when you get a few years older and you start to drive the family car, and you say, this is my car. And it's really technically not your car. But because Daddy bought that, it's like your car. Look at this. Watch this. You know what Daddy has? You know what Father, Abba Father has? He has eternal love and joy and peace that's in his house. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Part of how you have to proceed in life is you need to decide, eyes closed, but listen to me so much. There is a tug of the world that says, go this way. Watch this stuff. Listen to this. Think this way. Dress this way. Act this way. And there's a way, and you've been programmed. And it's like the devil has come and put a stake in the ground and says, this is all the farther you can go in life. And you're programmed and you're thinking that there's nothing more to life than what the world has to offer. But God says there is a way that you shouldn't go, but there's a way that you get to go if you have a relationship with me. And if you will listen to me, if you'll do what I want you to do, if you do what you see me doing, if you say what I tell you to say, what you hear me say, I promise you, it's the best life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. Some of you, God's been working on you. Holy Spirit's been working on you. And you're like, Mark, yeah, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to school tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm expected to do certain things by my friends. I'm expected to act a certain way by my friends. And I hate it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to fall into that trap. You can break out of that tonight by understanding who you are in your relationship with God. He's Father, your son and daughter. Stand to your feet. Tonight, if you're saying, I don't want to go the way of the world, I want to pursue a relationship with Father God. If that's your heart, I want you to just come forward right now. We're just going to worship. If that's your heart, you're saying, I don't want to pursue the world. I want to pursue my relationship with Father God. I want you guys, I knew you guys would come forward here tonight, because you know what? This is an awesome student ministry. We got some awesome students, and God's got an awesome, some awesome things laid out for us. Next week, I'm going to preach a sermon called 3D Glasses. How many of you have ever seen a movie in 3D and you got 3D glasses? Next week, we're going to talk about 3D glasses. Don't miss it. It's going to be awesome. But right now, I want you to just focus on Jesus Christ as Father God. Father God in heaven and what you have. And I want you to sing this right to the Lord. Sing this right to the Lord right now. That's you. Reagan, lead us out.
What is there for me to find? What is there for me to seek? Nothing here can satisfy.
Come on, let me hear you.
Is in you, Father, everything that I need.
Sing it. Full heart. all you got
is in you, Father.
Come on. Full force.
Is in you, Father.
Again.
Everything
that I need, is in you.
Is in you,
Father.
Everything that I need, is in you.
Is in you,
Father.
There's somebody here tonight that you have some friends that are talking to you about doing some things that you know is not right. It could be smoking something that you're not supposed to smoke. It could be drinking something you're not supposed to drink. It could be popping something that you're not supposed to pop. It could be watching something. There's some of you, I'm not looking at anybody because I don't have anybody in mind. Just the Holy Spirit's telling me this. Some of you, you are being coerced by a friend to come over to their house so that you can get on their computer in the privacy of their room where they've locked the door, and they get on the internet and they're taking you to places, chat rooms and websites that you know are unholy. And you're allowing your mind to see things that you know are forbidden for you because you are a child of God. And if that's you, you need to just pray. I'm not here to point you out, but if that's you, you need to just close your eyes and say, God, everything that I need is in you. It's not on that computer screen. Some of you are going home and you're listening to certain things, and you know what the interesting thing about having these little earbuds is that you get this little private moment where nobody can hear what you're listening to. And you know that you're downloading into your mind things that are unholy, that cause you to think wrong thoughts and perform wrong actions. And God says, everything that I am can be yours. That is not for you. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's sing this again.
Everything that I need is in you, Father. Everything that I need is in you, Father. Everything that I need.
It's not in the thought life. It's not in that boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not in the acceptance. Everything that I need is in you, God. It's in you. I want you to leave with those thoughts tonight. And tonight, I want you to go through, survey your life. When you're in bed tonight, survey your life. Say, God, am I doing what you're wanting me to do? Everything I need is in you. What things do I need to take out of my life that I have substituted in place of you? I need you in my life. Father God, I pray right now for students as we leave this place to be riveted with the thought that all we need is you. And our relationship with you is based upon a father to son or daughter relationship. A loving Father who's looking out for us. And if we're looking for love, we need to see it and find it in you first. Lord, decisions that we're trying to make, we need to consider your ways first, not the popular opinion. We don't want to be like that gnat that becomes encased in a mindset of the world, not able to escape. Father, set us free. In Jesus' precious name. Everybody said, amen. Guys, if you're going through something and you need some special prayer, I'm going to be up here. We've got leaders here. We would love to talk to you. God bless you guys. Don't miss Sunday morning. We've got some special things to download to you Sunday morning in youth. Second service here, first service also. Next Wednesday night, 3D glasses. Don't miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, guys, if you could, pick up all your stuff here, your notes. Put the Bibles back up. If you could, put the pens back up, the cups. Pick up those cups, put them in the trash can. Please police that for us. Hang out if you want to, play some little gaga ball. Have fun. God bless you.